This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Luke and a Pete Show. My name's Pete Donaldson. I'm the drainpipe greasing, tax return releasing Pete Donaldson. And Luke Aaron Moore is with me. Hello, Luke.
How are you?
I'm good, mate. You all right? What's going on?
I haven't seen you for ages.
I know, because Chris Tilley from Clash of Titles obviously did the week before last, and then last week was our good friend Jim Campbell. Your friend of mine, Jim Campbell.
Yeah, I bloody enjoyed having Jim on. It was fantastic. Yeah,
it was, yeah. I mean, basically, we've had 2 weeks of better co-hosts, really, haven't we? So yeah. we've kind of let each other down, and the show and the listeners, because, you know, we're not taking holidays for a little while. So thanks to the lockdown.
I looked at my diary earlier, and I thought, who is it on to the house? Fucking Pete. God's sake. And I've got to do Pete tomorrow on fucking Ramble as well.
Can I not just have another Pete somewhere else? Can I just pick another Pete? A Postlethwaite, maybe, or something like
I'd like you. It's Postlethwaite. Isn't it Postlethwaite?
Postlethwaite, yeah. But yeah, well, I've been up anyway. Since. Yeah, I started podcasting at 7 o'clock this morning, Luke, thanks to the time differences in Japan. So I
ain't no part-time hustle for you, baby.
Mate, I went straight from holiday to an episode of The Office US, as I end all of my days with, and then 6 hours sleep, and then straight back into the pod hall. Only halted by the man from the broadband company coming around to tell me that he's going to have to dig up a lot of my road. I'm not going to tell the landlord. That's for them to find out.
Well, if your fingerprints aren't over the ground digging implements, you're blame free, mate. There's nothing linking you to the crime.
Yeah, the BT Openreach man just came round and overstepped in my particular humble opinion. He really did make a real mess of that garden. Oopsie daisy.
Well, I hope he doesn't dig up some of the things that you'd rather remain buried.
Well, look.
Like your dignity.
It's a box of really, really old
cables.
Habituates.
Yeah. Can I just pick up a bit on that, Pete? One thing I should say before we get stuck into today is that if you haven't listened to Thursday's episode of Luke and Pete from last week, where Jim tells a story about his plumbing mishaps, please do, because Pete Donaldson aside, present company excluded, it is the most I've laughed in a very, very long time listening to that story. Now, I knew the story anyway, but him telling it from start to finish was very, very entertaining. So it's towards the end of Thursday's episode. Do go and listen to that. And one further thing, if you enjoy the show, go and leave us a review on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your pods and tell some people about it, because we enjoy doing it. It's lots of fun. It's super basic, we know. It's just two guys chatting shit, but you guys like it. So if you do like it, let everyone else know by leaving us a review. Pete, I was going to say, I want to pick up on something you said a second ago, which was how you end your working day with an episode of The Office US, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is interesting to me because since everyone's had to change their routines and looking like they may have to change them again in the near future, sadly, if what we're being told is to be believed, then one thing that people have struggled with is like, well, I know that if I set my alarm for 7, I get up, I leave the house at 8, I get to work for 9, and I come home and my working day's finished. Now, for you and I, it's a bit different because our jobs are vocational. But are there any tips to help people kind of bookend their day? Because what I always do when I know that the lion's share of work that day is finished, or I've achieved what I want to achieve if I'm working from home, there'll always be a couple of bits to do in the evening usually, but I always just jump in the shower. That's my kind of commute. Get in the shower, right. Wash off the day, and then I'm kind of know that my day, to all intents and purposes, is finished. So is the Office US an episode of that? Is that your version of that?
That is my sonic and audiovisual shower. I would ask the question, do you shower again in the morning then?
Yeah, I have two showers a day, yeah.
Right, okay.
Particularly in the summer. Okay. I mean, I might change that in the winter, but in the summer I do, yeah. Because it gets, I mean, when we're stuck in this, I'm stuck in my spare room where the sun beats in through the window kind of most of the day. It can get quite warm. And if you're making shows, you can't really have the window open. So you do get a bit sweaty. So I think it probably is best to do that. And also I probably three times a week do some form of exercise. So I generally need to have a shower in the morning and then the shower after I've done that.
Right. Okay. Well, I recently discovered, not really discovered, to be honest, I'm a very unfit man. I've not played football. I've not run around. I've not been in the gym since January. Like, and I wasn't a massive gym bunny before that. I used to go in.
You do go once every January, don't you, to be fair?
I do go once every, I do 30 days in January and all the other days have 0 days of gym. And so I've not been in the gym for a long time. I've not played football in eons and I really enjoy doing that. And I am in a situation where I'm like, I don't feel great. And I visited my parents a few weeks ago, and my mum informed me for the first time in my life, didn't know this, that my granddad had a heart attack at 52.
Oh.
I had no idea. I'm like, mum.
And you're 51 think, now.
A man on the doorstep of being 40.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could probably have done with that
come
information, to be quite
come
frank.
In. Come into the house, baby. I'm inside. Lovely. It's all right.
It's lovely. We're all taking statins. I'm like, ma'am, you realise like that's actually quite important. Like he had a heart attack at 52. He was a minor. He didn't smoke, but he was a minor. Obviously, there are, you know,
I think being you're only a minor if you're under 18, aren't you?
Yeah, but if he had, you know, less risk of a heart attack, he was a minor. But he, yeah, but just being a minor all his life, there are obviously health, not benefits, but there are pitfalls. Excuse my turn of phrase.
Yeah.
And he was a fairly fit and healthy bloke, and he had a heart attack at 52, died in his 70s, 73, 74, something like that. So I could have done with that information. So I bought a little heart. What do you call them? Blood pressure monitor.
Yeah.
Approaching high blood pressure, I am apparently right, at 40. Right, that's right. Not ideal, is it? No. My mum had that, to be fair. So it's her mum lived. She was 93. So quite frankly, Luke, this could be the last Luke and Pete show. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
right?
Jim's around. He's always said he wants.
Jim's around. Jim's around. He's proved himself.
Yeah, that's why we got Jim in. I was going to say that. I'm 40 now. I was 40 a week or so ago. So it kind of...
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And the reason I mention that is because, now I don't know if this has changed due to what's happened with COVID, but and this is kind of a bit of a public information message, I suppose, to anyone listening out there, is that when you hit 40, I do believe you start to become eligible for annual health checkups from the NHS.
Right.
So,
okay.
When you hit 40 next April, will it be, Pete? You'll be 40, won't you? You can go and do that. Now, I don't know if it's changed because of COVID. Maybe they're just saying that we can't prioritise that at the moment. But at some point, I'm gonna have to go in and get that done because I had it done. I had a kind of all over health check about 18 months ago because my wife and I both got tonsillitis, and we went in just to double check that it was the, because there's two types of tonsillitis, and the one that you have to go and get checked for is the one that could be really can be treated with antibiotics or whatever. Anyway, they gave me a checkup then. They did the whole thing, the blood sugar level, they did blood pressure, did all that kind of stuff, and they gave me an ECG and stuff, and I was all fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it does probably serve you well to get checked every so often. Luckily, in my family, touch wood, we don't have a history of high blood pressure or cholesterol or anything like that, because I think a lot of it, whether you like it or not, of course it is affected by diet.
It's genetic, yeah.
A lot of it can be kind of genetic, yeah, so you've got to be careful.
Oh, dearie me. But with the health checkups, did they make you run on a running machine with one of those tubes in your mouth? That's all I want.
No, I didn't
I
do
want
that.
An EKG and I want, or ECG,
whatever. Yeah, AKG's a microphone, mate. You just love the lifestyle. ECG, they just put these things on your chest, basically.
I watched you can get those for your smartphone now. Apparently, if you're having if you're worried about palpitations or any kind of weird heart things, a mate has got, these two little metal pads that she sticks to the back of her phone. And she, if she feels she's having like a, you know, an attack or something, or her sister had an undiagnosed heart condition, like a hole in her heart. And if she's having what she thinks is an attack, she quickly just pulls the little pads off the back of her phone and grabs hold of them. And then it, with the smartphone app, it kind of basically checks whether, you know, something weird's going on with your heart, with the electricity and things like that.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's on you all the time, effectively. It's a little bit like back in the day. My friend's dad died suddenly of a heart attack, and he was given one of those, like, a really slow-moving cassette recorder, and it would record the heart, and then they would run that tape through a computer and figure out if there was any kind of pattern of kind of ill behavior on the side of the heart. I mean, obviously, I was just fascinated by the slow tape recorder.
Yeah.
So I couldn't give a shit.
That worked my Amstrad.
Could we play Manic Miner? Could we record Manic Miner over one of those tapes? I could probably fit loads of data on that.
Yeah.
That looks like a 120 at least, a TDK 120.
It just reminds me, first of all, I feel like people, is that good though? I mean, should it not be being interpreted? Should the data not be being interpreted by someone who actually knows what they're doing?
Yeah, but I mean, I think you can meet people halfway. So hasn't the new Apple smartwatch, hasn't that got like a blood oxygen detector or something?
All this stuff could revolutionise people's health, you know that?
I mean, look, just keeping an eye on stuff, innit? Just your heart suddenly starts fluttering or whatever, and your watch goes, Pete, stop that. Stop whatever you're doing. You're going over the edge, mate.
You could probably you choose your ringtone. That's enough. That's enough now.
Stop this.
Get like a sergeant major. I'll tell you off.
Your girlfriend's coming home. Stop this.
Stop eating M&Ms, for fuck's sake, Luke.
Shit. Yeah. But yeah. I very much enjoyed the show last week at gym with the floppy protesters amused me immensely.
Yeah.
The idea that a put upon police sergeant had to just ask people to stop going floppy.
Jim's a really good storyteller, but the thing is, he's always so all over the place, doesn't know what he's doing half the time, that he can't find the window to tell the story. So like,
right, okay, yeah.
So, but Pete, I was going to say, when you had Chris on, which I also enjoy, I like Chris, funny guy, and his show Clash of the Titles, a moot film show, another Stakhanov show, is well worth a turn of the head if you get a chance.
Mm.
But when you were recording that show, I worked out that I was climbing an ill-advised climb of a mountain in Scotland. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it yet because I was away and then you were away. It's this mountain called the Cobbler, right? Now, it is an intermediate climb. I mean, what I mean by that is you don't need anything other than like a good pair of walking shoes to get up there. It's not like you need like crampons and like ropes and stuff. But I think I'm getting to that age now where stubbornness is starting to take over, where I feel a bit like, you know, all right, look, you're 40 years old. It's not that old in the grand scheme of things. You know, you've got, hopefully, touch wood, you've got a good amount of your life left to go. You know, I'm fairly active. I went for a run yesterday. I don't feel any different. But that was a tough old climb. The only consolation would be that my wife, who's quite a bit younger than me, also found it quite tough. But I would have loved to have seen you get up there, Donny, with your with the old it could be good for your lungs, probably. Good bit of fresh
air. Good for your lungs. I mean the air's quite thin. I quite like a yomp. I quite like a little climb on the rare occasions I've treated myself to such a thing. But yeah, the problem I've got at the moment is that every part of my foot is bleeding.
Oh, right.
I bought myself a pair of like kind of summer trainers.
Not that
trainers.
Burn thing again.
No, I didn't burn my foot with pot noodle again. No, I've got these trainers that have rubbed the back of my foot off.
Oh yeah.
I bought some flip flops when I was away. The sides of the feet, little Haviana things that burn the I've got massive holes in the side of my foot, and then I bought those thong flip flops, and which rub the inside of my toe out completely, and now I'm just a weeping sore. Like, my feet are just weeping and sore. Is it just because I just haven't spent quite so much time with my feet on the street, so to speak? I've been spending most of my time indoors.
The common denominator here is your feet, by the sound of it. Look, I've got some robust opinions around men wearing flip flops. I don't think, and to be honest, let's not make it sexist. It's not even men. I just think flip flops are just dreadful generally. I don't know what service, like what purpose they serve. Like, I just don't understand why you would wear a pair of flip flops. They do nothing for anyone. They're terrible for your feet, terrible for your posture. You can't really move in them. They always flip off. You can't wear them on the beach when, like, people say you can because they get stuck in the sand. They're just absolutely pointless. So,
what do you wear on the beach?
I'd wear a pair of like lightweight plimsolls until I get to the beach, and I'll just take them off.
Yeah, that's why I wear Toms. I'm a big fan of Toms.
Yeah, you a pair of extra pairs would be fine for the hot sand. Yeah. No problem.
Are you just wearing them wrong? Are you wearing flip flips?
Well, I don't wear them at all. Yeah, I've got two right feet. Yeah,
two right feet.
But Donny, on this mountain, right, the cobbler, it's not even high enough to be called a Munro, which is the Scottish kind of term for people who want to.
Oh, it's a Munro.
Yeah, climb a certain height. I think it's about a 900 and something meter climb, and it needs to be 1,000 meters to be technically a Munro. But anyway, so I was climbing it, and we got up and got out there pretty early, so we were the first people up there. And it was pretty straightforward, like a pretty gentle incline. And I remember thinking to myself, this has been going on for like an hour now. It's going to take us either all day at this rate of gradient to get to the top of this mountain, or it's going to get really hard really quick. And then we turned the corner, right? And there was probably, someone's put a load of concrete-ish, like stone steps in, right? And and I'm telling you now, I reckon there was at least 1,000 of them.
Right.
So I looked on my iPhone. At the end of the day, I looked on my iPhone. You know, they do the flights climb, like the elevation thing.
Right.
And I did 169 floors, right? and a floor is, I think, 15 steps. Right?
Yeah.
Imagine going to the bottom of a big building and someone saying, that's 169 floors, that building. You're going to go up to the top floor and there's no lift. That's basically what happened to me. And my knees on the way down did not thank me one little bit, because people don't think about the descent. The climbing down is by far the hardest bit. It's so painful when you get to some
knees.
Age. And the quads and the calves and everything, man. It's awful. It was great fun.
Do you have to like talk to people when they're coming down while you're going up? Do you have
I knew
to,
you were
like,
going to ask
this. That kind of, it's that kind of side of things. I can't.
Yeah, you would be struggling.
Oh
with
yes,
that.
Hello, yeah. How are you? Yeah, oh good, brilliant.
Do you want to know what tactic I employed, which you'll hate?
Screaming? No, I don't.
I just wrestled them down. Yeah, you have to climb up again now. No, I so for the first kind of half an hour of us descending and seeing people come up, I would say, oh, you're nearly there. Keep going. You're nearly there.
Oh,
yeah.
Luke.
And then after that, the intermediate bit, I would say, oh, you've got quite a way to go. Keep it up. And then at the bottom, I just descended entirely to a hello, good morning, how you doing kind of thing.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
And I smeared a lot of fake blood all over me and said, there's a fucking massive wolf at the top.
There's a wolf and you got to fight it.
It's a
and
bear.
If you don't win, if you don't win, you get sexy with you.
You're enjoying it now, but wait till you get to the end of level boss. Covered in blood, all my clothes are ripped.
Yeah. Lovely.
And my bum was hanging out as well.
Yeah.
That's what I did. No, it was good anyway. It was fun. Pete, you want to talk a little bit about do you want to talk a little bit about fashion? Because you just mentioned you've got some new footwear.
Right, okay.
And some
bleeding feet.
Yeah, coincidentally, bleeding feet aren't in fashion apparently, but I read this morning.
Great band.
I looked through just a few some of the headlines just ahead, and I knew that we were going to be recording. Particularly enjoyed Donald Trump's tax situation.
Absolutely
incredible.
The one thing he's got on Joe Biden, in the opinion polls, is that people trust him more on the economy. It's like, have you seen how terrible he has been for that long? Good Lord!
Paid less federal income tax in a year than I would pay in a month. Yeah. Good man. Anyway, aside from that, I saw in a fashion section on The Guardian that in a big way, socks with sandals are back in fashion, so that could help your blister situation, couldn't it?
Yes, it would, wouldn't it? And is this all like the sliders with the footballer? It just seems to be like
no, it's
that.
Not that. Although that is a big thing, isn't it?
Right.
I saw a picture of a model,
white Adidas,
a model wearing some like leather strappy kind of sandals with some white socks.
I'm not against that, to be honest. Yeah, that doesn't feel. I think sometimes things that used to kind of, you find quite offensive, you kind of come round to them eventually. I think you don't find you. I don't have such strong opinions about fashion. I think last year I was considering on a holiday buying one of those bum bags that you go across your chest.
That is fashionable. That's like an overly fashionable decision. That's like a fashion
but
thing.
But I
moment.
Am approaching 40. That's what I'm saying. So you shouldn't be feet.
Should you be doing that?
No, I shouldn't be doing that. But I'm saying that's just something that would have offended me, a man of a certain age making decisions like that. And then now I've become a man of a certain age, I'm making decisions like that. Mm. And I'm loving it. I'm loving life.
I got to the point where I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah. A lot. I mean, I switched a little bit too easily under lockdown from because I was wearing a lot of suits in sort of February, and I'll probably go back to them in the fall, in the autumn, as it starts to get a little bit colder. But I bought some like smart trousers, but they were like drawstringed, and oh, what a treat! What a treat, Loki.
Yoga pants.
What a treat! Yeah, yoga pants for the big boys.
One thing that's not mentioned enough re-fashion is that like. And maybe it is mentioned enough and I just don't know about it, which is entirely possible, is that when it comes to things that are fashionable in quotes, right, when I know the industry's changed to an extent, whereas now you actually do see like normal people on billboards a lot, and well, not a lot, but a bit more than you did. And models can be all different types of shade and shapes and sizes, and all different stuff like that. And that's a good thing. But ultimately, what's not spoken about enough is that the type of people who are fashion models, they could wear almost literally anything and it looks amazing. And it's it feels a bit pointless because for example, I noticed when Man United put out that controversial third kit, the kind of zebra stripe black and white third kit, right? I've long held this theory that if something goes awry with Man United, or they have a little bit of a bad kind of period, or they just get David Beckham to do something, right? And what they did is they got David Beckham to wear that kit on his Instagram. It looked amazing because, of course, it looks amazing because it's David Beckham, right? And I think that what needs to happen more often, or what could be done as a little gap in the market, is just get a load of normal people of like 100 different body shapes, which I'm sure there are, and stick them up on a website and say, this is what this will look like on you with like augmented reality and stuff, because that'll give you a much better flavour of what's going to happen, because otherwise it's completely fucking pointless. The amount of times when I was younger, I'd buy stuff off the internet, and obviously I'm quite tall, so I can get away with a bit of stuff. It would look ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, because at that point I would have been, I'm 6'3", and I would have been not even that fat. I'd have been like 200 pounds, which isn't that much, right? That's not that overweight, but it would just look ridiculous because I wasn't 150 pounds and ridiculously skinny. So like, I understand that women get it a lot worse than men do, but I'm just saying that like, I think it would enhance the fashion industry for them to be more realistic in the long term.
Yeah, and also for people who've got long legs and short bodies, I can't remember which one I've got. I think I've got long legs and a short body, and buying suits is a nightmare. The amount of times I've bought a suit that's just too long for me, and I've gone to the little tailors underneath Charing Cross Station and just went, can you just take a few inches off that? And I've cut it so short that the pockets actually hang out of the bottom of the shirt, of the suit. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, you like to wear your jacket short, though, don't you? That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't like to flap around. I don't want everyone to see my underwhelming keister, so to speak.
But anyway. Pete, I was also going to say that with fashion as well, you get this kind of idea of vanity sizing, which is like mental, to the point of where I remember when I was going up to Scotland a couple of weeks ago, I needed to buy like a warm jumper because I completely forgot to pack one. I was really busy, I had to go straight from work, and I forgot to pack one. Right, so I go to the shop and buy a kind of outdoorsy, nice fleecy jumper. Right, nothing fancy, nothing major. And I was trying stuff on. Anyway, to cut a very boring story short, I ended up buying a fleece kind of zip up thing, which was a medium. Right.
Yeah.
And the T-shirt underneath I was wearing, which is from All Saints, was an extra large. it's like where do we go with these things? It's mad. It should be standardized.
Yeah, how are you allowed to sort of like, yeah, I mean, they should just have be like 36, 38, 42. Like, they should just have chest sizes and just have done with it, because they're just meaningless, isn't it, the sizes. I know I'm like a, I'm a top man small, but in other places small is way too small for me. It's crazy.
It's stupid.
It's wild.
And I think that is, we are definitely in the territory of two old men yelling at a cloud here, but it's frustrating. But anyway, should we have a little break and then come back and do some emails? Because we've got some good ones.
All right, then.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. If you want to get to the show, it's really a really unbelievably simple people. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. If you'd like to get in touch and, just ask us about stuff. Tell us about stuff.
It's hello at people.com. yeah, we've had quite a few good ones. Jim and I talked about little urban legends and stuff for a bit last week, and Jim was talking about
razor blades.
Exactly. Sam has been in touch by emailing hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, saying that, "Hi guys, I grew up in the western suburbs of Sydney in the 80s, which is very much the Romford of the southern hemisphere. And if any confirmation was required that water park razor blades are absolute bollocks, the same rumour existed around our local water park, which is approximately 11,000 miles away. Now, either this was some complex international coordinated attack by a sole global cabal of blade wielding supervillains, or very much a bollocks urban legend. Cheers, Sam." Pete, was that an urban legend that made it as far as Hartlepool?
It was, yeah, Millhouse Leisure Centre. But it was more, to be honest, I was more visceral and realistic, I think, in that it was nails.
Right.
Nailed into the underside of the Millhouse Leisure Centre, which was accessible. The tube in question, the flume in question, was accessible from below. So you could technically do it. Razor blades. I'm thinking, how do you mount them onto the inside of the actual thing?
I don't think you're banging a nail. I don't think you're banging a common or garden nail up through one of those tubes. They're so, I don't know what type of plastic they are, but it's robust plastic.
You could get a nail through, a good thick wood nail straight through. Lovely old job.
Be a leak though, wouldn't
it? Yeah, that was
a leak.
It would be a leak if it would not. Yeah. Where's all the water gone? I'm not going down there.
And one thing I forgot to mention last week when Jim was talking about it is actually, and this is a fact, it's not an urban legend, I saw it happen with my own eyes, is that weirdly, the school I went to was the worst school in the area, but weirdly, it had quite good sports facilities. I have no idea why. My dad reckons, because my dad went to the same school, and my dad was a very competent and competitive swimmer, right? And he swam for the county and all the rest of it. And he said that, and basically our school had a swimming pool. And I think it might, the school which was kind of opened in the 60s might have maybe been set up as like a sports kind of school or something like that. But anyway, so the bottom line is we had a really good swimming pool when none of the other schools in our area had one. But our school was rough. So my mate Jimmy, who you know well, one of my best friends, he was never able to swim, and even now he can't swim, and which is mad because we grew up like a stone's throw from the sea, but he's never learned how to swim. So when we had PE class and it was swimming, like he had to be down the shallow end kind of be given a float, and he used to do this thing which is really funny where he used to walk along the bottom pretending to swim and try and get away with it. And we'd only be about 13 at a time or whatever. But anyway, what had happened was some of the bigger boys from year 11 had on their final, because I think they finished the year early because they had to go and study for their exams. Didn't used to get to do revision from home or whatever. You used to leave like early.
Oh, that rings a bell. Yeah. Oh, that was sweet. That started happening.
And they were able to do that. But what one of them did, or a few of them did, was they chucked a load of drawing pins on the bottom of the swimming pool.
Right, okay.
And so a load of people got them stuck in the bottom of their feet. And this actually happened. I remember it happening. I remember people having drawing pins in the bottom of their feet. So that is a kind of slightly more benign variation on that urban legend, which definitely did happen.
Yeah, well, look, when you've got feet like mine...
you wouldn't have noticed.
I wouldn't have noticed. I'm bleeding constantly. Actually, one of my many bleeding orifices on my feet...
it's not an orifice, is it?
It is in my... I will send you a picture. It is an orifice. It's like a hole in my foot.
Oh, God.
Where the thong went in. And, there was a wasp that just kept on trying to eat it. It's like, it's disgusting.
Lay some eggs.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting stung in a wound?
My late uncle, who was he was a bit of a joker when we were kids. I mean, this was genuinely quite chilling. He had like a couple of calcium bumps on his arms. I think they're called calcium bumps. Just little weird kind of like, I guess they're like benign cysts or whatever. And when I was like 7 years old, or maybe even younger, I would go up to him and if I touched one of them to see what it was, when he was like, I don't know, when I was sat on the sofa next to him, whatever,
asleep,
he would go mental. He would go, ah, like that to really make me jump. And then I would say, why are you getting so, why are you doing that? And he would say to me, like in a conspiratorial tone when no one else was listening, it's a spider's nest and I don't want you to wake them up. How awful is that to a 7-year-old?
Lovely. Lovely old job. That would absolutely kill me until the end of time.
Awful.
Unbelievable.
Like when those people who listened told us about those little larvae in people's heads.
Oh, you put Vaseline on them and starve them of oxygen and they just sort of tunnel out, don't they? Disgusting. Dan Crowley has got in touch on the emails. Good day, guys. I'm from Melbourne, Australia, as the above greeting was designed to indicate. Enjoyable. I've got an important crisp flavour / girlfriend inquiry. I'm sure you get a few of these. In a conversation with some friends recently, my girlfriend was asked to describe me as a flavour of crisps. I can't remember how this question came up, but her instinctive answer was sea salt. When someone asked her why, she said, and I quote, "It's because it's a very neutral flavour."
Oh, boring. Boring.
So his friends all assumed that I'd be upset that my girlfriend thinks of me as a neutral flavour, but he says he wasn't. He protested he wasn't, because his line of thinking is, right, there's no answer that she could possibly have given to that question that I would have been happy with. I'm not convinced that there's any crisp flavour you could compare me to that I would find flattering. Chicken flavour doesn't say much about my confidence. French onion, I guess, like
French, you know, onion. Is that a crisp flavor?
French onion. I don't know. Yeah, well, clearly in Australia, salt and vinegar, a bit overbearing after a while. Given I'm half Sri Lankan, I'd take any flavor involving chili as a racial slur. Anyway, I am a crisp flavored pessimist. Anyway, am I a crisp flavor pessimist, or is there, as I suspect, no such thing as a flattering crisp flavor comparison? Yeah, I mean, any food stuff is a bit like you've lost the fight, haven't you? Because you're going to be eating.
Yeah, I think I am. No, I think I am salt and vinegar. I love salt and vinegar crisps, and I'll give you a couple of reasons why I'm probably salt and vinegar. One, because I am quite overbearing. And two, because my wife dislikes them. What would you be?
How can you dislike smoky bacon? I'm just too.
What
salty.
You repeat on me?
Too. Yeah, exactly. And I don't really smell like the thing I'm supposed to be. I don't taste like the thing I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you confound expectation. Yeah, because exactly. Roast chicken crisps, roast beef crisps, and bacon crisps, whatever brand you buy, all taste the same, and none of them taste like the thing they're supposed to be.
And I'm fairly certain they're all vegetarian, which tells its own story, to be quite frank.
Yeah, and you are disgusted by vegetarians, aren't you, as well?
I'm disgusted. I find them very problematic. I have some mints. anyway, so that's about it for this week. I think we're going to shuffle off, and we'll be back on Thursday with more fun games, bucket spades, and hand grenades. We are the Seven Dwarves, and we'll be back on Thursday. Hello, LimpPeakShow.com. If you want to get in touch, bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.